Some may find the following disturbing. Discretion is advised.
It's the Mikey Bet Show, the Mikey Bet Show. Do you know the Mikey Bet Show? Come on, listen to the Mikey Bet Show, the Mikey Bet Show, the Mikey Bet Show. Do you know the Mikey Bet Show? Yes, the Mikey Bet Show, where the bookies get on.
Last week on the Mikey Bet Show.
Look, gentlemen, I don't know what to say, really. I come to you after that horrendous preseason from Andy Dalton. And we're supposed to say he's the starter. Now, what are we gonna do? Are we gonna sit here and let Dalton throw us three picks a game? Or are we gonna get up? We're gonna let Justin Fields take the ball and throw it in the end zone! Cause that's how you win the fucking ball game! So what are you gonna do?
To the Mikey Bet Show, everybody. We have a great lineup. We have a great gambler and former Barstool member, Jeff Nadu. He is on. And we also have a surprise guest who I just decided to do about 10-15 minutes ago is my fiance, Kayla. I always hear on the radio that, oh yeah, my wife doesn't let me do this, my wife doesn't let me do that. I'm for sports, blah blah blah. It's such a hassle. She doesn't get it. Some of us are blessed with the wives that like football. That's cool. Whatever. But my fiance is not about that. She is, she does not care about football at all. So I want to have her on to explain what it's like to be a fiance, future wife, former girlfriend, and what it's like just to be around people like us, the fans of, you know, just Bears, football, gambling, everything like that. So what's up, babe?
Hi, babe. Thanks for having me on.
Of course, of course. Why do you sound like a telemarketer right now?
I don't. Stop saying that.
So what is it like to have somebody like me who's very obsessive with sports and all that shit, and you know, I need my 17 weeks of football. Don't bother me. 18 weeks now. 18 weeks of football. Don't bother me on Sundays. What is that like for you?
Have you ever heard a baby crying in a crib?
Yeah.
That's what it's like. Every 2 seconds, you're yelling at the screen, freaking out because somebody did something. And, you know, you then 2 seconds later, you're taking a shot because somebody hit the over or under FIFO, don't know. But yeah.
Well, I personally think that you need to, like, if you can't beat them, join them. So why don't you just start joining us for the game, watching the game, sitting down and finding out what it's about? You know, like that's what it's about to us. Why don't you actually put some peanuts down on it, put some money down on it, and then maybe you might find
the
it a little enjoyable.
The closest thing to football that I'm ever getting is Friday Night Lights. Coach Taylor, clear eyes, full hearts, Texas forever.
What about Coach Taylor? Wow.
He pissed. Beat records.
You know, I... beat records. Changed the game. Dude, my thing is, I don't want to admit this because everybody on here, if you're a football fan, you've obviously watched Friday Night Lights, right? You've seen the movie, you've seen the show. The movie's not the same as the show.
Yeah, I'm talking about this.
I'll admit it. I'm going to admit it. I've never seen Friday Night Lights besides this, like whatever one I've seen her watch it. It's pretty good. It is pretty good. Sure, I need to go ahead and rewatch it because I know everybody's going to kill me for not watching it. But isn't it a girl show anyway?
I mean, I like it, so I guess.
So it's a girl show.
But don't your fans know that you love girl shows?
Fuck you mean?
Grey's Anatomy?
That's all right.
This is us.
I'm gonna cut.
You better not cut this out.
Yeah, I'm cutting this out for sure. What's wrong with you? Yeah, they're good shows. I don't care, dude. Fucking no homo. Doc, what's his name? Dr. Shepard.
Oh, yeah.
Gosh. Dreamy.
That's why they call him McDreamy.
Is that what they call him?
Yeah.
They call me McDouble. I'm fucking pissed. but yeah. Okay. So. Football, that's fine, right? Like, my thing is Fred Huebner actually told me this the last time, a couple times ago he was on, was his wife passed away, but when his wife was alive, that he said, honey, I'll give you Friday, Saturdays, whatever, the rest of my life, you know, but let me have Sunday. So I feel like that's fair. I'll give you church on Sundays, and then the rest of the day, leave me alone. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, so fuck our family dinners, right?
Well, when we have a family, then we can have family dinners, right? That's what I'm saying.
We do have a family. We have Capone, we have whiskey, Bella, burrito.
I'm not going to sit around the table with five. This is not the poker, you know, that photo with the box playing poker. I'm not about to do that right now. Sorry, that's not in my, it's not what I'm going to do over here. So
really quick. Can you tell your listeners about what happened yesterday?
Dude. No, that was the most vulnerable moment of my life. Everybody knows that I'm a bigger guy, right? I'm 6'6", I'll say 6'2", but I'm actually 6 foot. couple 200 and none of your business. But my thing is I'm walking, right? Why the fuck is the dog walking in the way? I'm walking you. Why is the dog in the way? I have Whiskey sitting down. Whiskey's my little black dog sitting down, and I fucking trip over him. I step on his paw, and I had a plate of corn. It was an elote bowl. So I had an elote bowl, and I had and a drink in my hand. All of a sudden, I stumble down. I step on the dog's foot. I stumble down on the floor. Slow motion, because I have all this shit in my hand. Obviously, you guys know me. The food doesn't fall on the floor. No shot. I hit the fucking the mirror, and I get pissed. I just get up, and I'm so embarrassed, dude. I'm so fucking belittled by my little dog that I fucking went after her. I was like, get over here, you fucking dog. And she's like, he didn't do anything. I stepped on him. Yeah, I get it. A little crazy, but dude, that was the worst moment of my life. And I almost took you with me.
I got scared. I thought you were having a stroke or something.
Dude, yeah, after a long ass day at work and I just fucking went down. I'm way too young to be having a stroke, but hey, I've seen in some of them. Whatever. I don't even want to say that. But yeah, it's crazy. Crazy, crazy, crazy. Fuck that. That was
the highlight of my week.
Yeah. You know, your evil laugh came out when you saw me fall. I was fucking pissed. It went from like shock, like, oh my gosh, he's having a stroke, to like, oh my gosh, some ass just tripped over.
It's exactly what it was. You were pissed at him. He was laying there for a good 20 minutes just enjoying
my thing is, if I could have just stood my balance, right? I could have just like stepped on him again and like, yeah, it would have hurt him more. But like, I had to take the fall because if I stepped on him, he probably would have died. You know what I'm saying? Like, I would have been right on the head or something. But no, I was like, fuck it, I got to go. It was like one knee down. The other half of my body went into the mirror. Thank God I didn't break that. That would have been 7 years of bad luck. So it's just, it was a, oh, what a day. That was a fucking day. Never again. I'm so fucking pissed. But today's a new day. Whiskey's not going to be sitting there anymore. I think he knows now. And we'll be good. But hey, we have Bulls football. We have Bulls basketball coming. Are we going to watch some Bulls games?
Only if Derrick Rose comes back.
I wish. But no, he's not
the old gang. Derrick Rose.
No, we don't. No, no.
Joe Kim Noah, Luol Deng.
See, I'm just happy that you know those people. Like that's my childhood. That's where I grew up, you know, like the streets with Luol Deng. I actually had dinner with Lil Aldang one time. I was 14 years old, and we went to like this luncheon, and fucking Lil Aldang sitting next to my mom and my parents, and I'm like, Ma, that's Lil Aldang. She goes, my mom doesn't know. She goes, oh, so what are you here for? He goes, oh, I'm one of the Bulls players. I'm Lil Aldang. And I'm like, dude, what the fuck? The guy signed one of my basketball cards, took a picture with me, my grandma. It was a good time. Fucking nice guy. Shout out Lil Aldang. He's probably not listening to this ever, but shout out to him.
Good guy.
Good guy. I'm excited though. I can't wait. I'm excited for basketball season. They have a season. So football season, you're not excited for? What do you think the Bears are gonna do? You're gonna give us your
What's the first number you say is what they're winning or what they're losing?
Muted. Yeah, they're 17 games.
Okay, so if you say like they're 4-3, does that mean they won 4 games and lost 3 games?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so I think they're gonna be like 4-12.
That's 16, babe.
Exactly. Didn't you say there are 16 games?
No, there's 17 this year.
Okay. Well, then 5-12.
That's fucking, yeah, you're probably right. But not really. I think they're going to get over 5 games. I think they're going to get like, they're going to go like 9-, yeah, and I don't even know what I do math right now. But yeah, 9-8? Yeah. Holy shit. Like, use your fucking brain. I think they're going to go 9-8. But whatever.
You bet on it?
Yeah, I'll bet on it. What, they hit over 5 games?
5 is looking a little slim now.
Oh, now it's
maybe 7. Seven.
Oh, okay. All right. So the bet is that the Bears win over 7 games.
Okay.
What's the bet?
I don't know. You want to put some green on it?
No, I want to put like a sandwich or like a steak dinner.
Okay, fine. Dinner of your choice.
Yeah. I'm going to pick Papa Dough for sure. So I don't know what dinner you're going to get, but it's probably going to be expensive. So yeah, we'll do a dinner bet. Bears gets, I get over 7 wins. You have under 7 wins, okay?
7 or under.
Yeah. So, no. If it's a 7 straight, if it's 7 straight, then it's a push and we lose. It's called a push.
I don't know what that means. No, but I'm saying that if they win 7, I still win. But if they win over 7, then okay. That's when you win.
Happy wife, happy life. Yeah, okay. Yeah, no problem.
Is that not how it works?
No, it's not. I said there's a push. So under, you got 7 or under?
Correct.
And I got 8 or over?
Yes.
All right, fine, fuck it. I'll do that bet. So a sandwich bet, or a food bet.
Dinner bet.
Dinner bet, all right. Sounds like a plan. Well, I think I'm going to get into our next guest, babe, because I know you got to go. I know you're pretty busy. But our next guest is going to be Jeff Nadeau. And he's a former Barstool member. He pops in every once in a while, so he's cool. Thank you, babe, again. Thanks for coming on. Appreciate it. And I will talk to you after this, probably.
Love you. And you forgot to take out the garbage this morning.
I love you, too. All right, and now to our next guest.
All right, guys, for my next guest, I'd like to introduce one of the world's best sports bettors, one of the best content creators, and one of my favorite things I like to see is a wise guy. His name is Jeff Nadeau. What's up, Jeff? How you doing?
Well, I'm not one of the greatest sports bettors ever. I try to be. I try to win. I would not say that, though. But I thank you for that. That's very nice of you. I would say I'm a great content creator, though. So you, I think you're right there. But thank you for having me, Mike. Appreciate it.
Hey, no problem. Well, I wouldn't say that. I would say you're a great sports bettor because you went 4-0 this week, right? I believe you went 4-0 this week.
Well, I went 3-1. That 4-0 thing, I think, was really just a dig at somebody. He actually went 4-0. I went 3-1 on my own picks. The one loser I had was Nebraska, but we were having some fun, and they posted the 4-0 that he put up with my face on it. So It made people a little confused, but no, I did have a loser. I had Nebraska.
Oh, whatever. 3-1 still positive.
Yeah.
So it works out. I want to talk about this week. We don't really have, I'm not really that into college football. I'm not that much. That's not my scene. I'm more of NFL. But what do we have this week? I think Friday night we have the Tar Heels versus Virginia Tech.
It's a big weekend. I mean, we have, you know,
week one.
First real big weekend of college football. You have, now obviously you're going to have your, a lot of your layup games with big teams facing bad teams and their big favorites, but you know, you do have some good games. You have LSU and UCLA, you have Georgia, Clemson, you know, you got Carolina and Va Tech. So, you know, there's a lot of games to wet your whistle with. And, you know, it's a daunting thing for a lot of people, but for people like me who, you know, obviously spent a lot of time with these teams and understand a lot of the stuff, it's really just another week for me, but it's nice to have football back. I think it's been a long summer. We didn't really have a great season last year with all the stoppages and certain players running in. It feels like all of a sudden we're back to a normal year again. So it seems like a long time since we had it. So it's nice to have it back.
Yeah, it feels good. Who are some of your picks that you want to take for this week?
Well, a couple I played. I took Kansas State against Stanford. That's kind of an interesting game. It's, you know, not the greatest Cotton Bowl classic. I think it is a type of game, but you know, I think Kansas State's a team that I'm pretty high on in the Big 12 this year. And I'm actually low on Stanford. This game's all, for me, the first game generally is about experience. And, you know, Stanford just doesn't have a ton coming back. They have a brand new quarterback. Defensively, they haven't loved them over the last couple of years. And I'm actually really high on Kansas State, as I said. I like their quarterback. I think their coach has a winning culture. And I think this is a team that really just has more experience than they do. It's a tough spot, but it's a low number. I just think it's like a 31-21 type of game. I like Kansas State to beat Stanford this week. That's one I was on.
Okay, yeah. I think I'm going to take Kansas State too. Fuck it. I really like the Georgia-Clemson game. You got Georgia's number 5, ranked number 5, and then you got Clemson at number 3. Clemson's at home, but they have them as the favorites. Would you lay some peanuts down on the Clemson?
No, I actually looked more into the other side. I think it's more of a toss-up kind of game. I don't think there's a lot of betting value on it. I think it'll be a great game to watch if you're just a fan of college football. And, yeah, you know, look, in the long run, neither team, if they lose, it's really going to affect them long-term because they're both two really good teams. But I think Georgia, for me, is just – I really like JT Daniels. I like their defense a lot. And I know a lot of the smart people are taking Georgia. So I would actually be on Georgia personally, but I'm not betting it. It doesn't have a lot of betting value to me. It's more just a toss up.
There's a lot of dogs that I want to bet on this weekend, especially I'm looking at Charlotte against Duke. Yeah, Duke's always going to be the favorite. I feel like they're always underdogs just because of the name. But dude, I like Charlotte +5.5. I think I'm going to take that.
Yeah, Duke's a really bad team. I mean, they may only win a game or two this year. I think Charlotte's actually on the upswing as a program. I kind of relate them. A couple of years ago, Old Dominion actually had a pretty decent team. They were making bowl games and they had a good coach. I kind of relate Charlotte to them. They're kind of the same kind of team. They have a good quarterback. Their coach is good. I think they're kind of on the upswing as a team and wouldn't be surprised if they win that game. So, yeah, I like Charlotte myself.
Yeah, I think I'm going to go with them. One question I have to ask you is, what made you get into college betting? Because for me, it's all about NFL and NBA and a little bit of MLB. So I've never been part of the college betting. What made you get into all of college football?
Yeah, I mean, I bet the NFL. I bet, you know, soccer. I bet other things. But I guess for me, college has always just been something that I've always loved. When I was really young, you know, super, like, you know, 9, 10, 11 years old, my dad, he's a great man, but he worked a lot and he wasn't a big sports guy. He was just always trying to give us like a better life. And he worked a lot. And I would spend a lot of like weekends with my grandpa, and he lived in a row home and in the city. And I remember I would go there on a Friday night and I wouldn't leave till Sunday night. And our ritual every weekend was, you know, Saturday we would watch, you know, football, college football. He loved Penn State. Back in the Paterno era. And then, you know, Sunday we would watch the Eagles and, you know, and then basketball season would come around. We'd always fill out the pools together. And you know, he died in 2009 and he really taught me a lot about sports. I was, you know, glad to know him and he was always a big college guy and it just always kind of rubbed off on me. And, You know, I kind of, in a way, like sometimes when I'm watching a game, like I think about those times that I had, and it's kind of poignant and like lame, I guess, but that's just where I learned, you know, you learn as a kid. Awesome. And he was a great guy. And again, sports were huge with him. So, I would say that's where it came from.
Yeah. Hell yeah, dude. That's awesome. That's how it was like growing up, like with my dad. He was never a sports guy. It was always work. And it's always nice to get that escape, and you could find the sports and somebody who enjoys it, especially having your grandpa enjoy it and stuff like that. That's fucking awesome.
The thing that I don't talk about too much is like my father's family. My dad's dad is, you know, he was just a bad person, bad father. Mm-hmm. So I don't really have a relationship with my dad's side of the family. So my mom's side with her father, like I always had a really good relationship with him. And like, he died when I was like 18, and it was real tough on me. So it's like, you know, I still kind of always go back to football and basketball just because that's what he liked. So
Fuck yeah, dude. That makes me happy. Hell yeah. That makes me happy that football and basketball can bring you back to him and can rekindle those good memories. That's awesome. I kind of want to push it to football. Since you said the Eagles, I want to push it to the NFL. How do you think the Eagles are going to do this year, dude? I'm not too high on them. It's over under 6.5 wins this year. I'm probably going to go with the under.
Yeah. Well, look, I mean, they have one of the easiest schedules in the NFL. I think a lot of people like outside of the city are not excited about them, but you know, people are excited here. I mean, there's a new coaching regime. You know, I think people kind of had soured on Doug Peterson, Carson Wentz. It's kind of a new regime. You know, Jalen Hurts kind of came out of nowhere and he's the quarterback of the future. People are excited about Sanders and Smith, and you know, this defense has a new leader all of a sudden, and they're still a pretty damn good front seven. It really comes down to Hurts at the end of the day. You know, I think if he can be dynamic and look, if you go back and look at the games that he played in, let's say the three that he started, I thought he played pretty damn well. People have to remember, he was playing with an offensive line that was just full of backups. He was throwing to guys that really don't belong in the NFL, and he's got a full offseason to kind of prepare. So, you know, I'm pretty excited, frankly. I think for me, it's just about, I think they can pleasantly surprise people. I think defensively they're better than maybe people are giving them credit for. So, you know, I think they're like a 7-8 win team. I think, you know, I think obviously in a great world, they win the division, but I don't think that'll happen. I'm just kind of hoping to see what's there and go from there. And look, if it doesn't work out, I think they're ready to kind of make a decision on a new quarterback as early as next year. So you know, we won a Super Bowl. And at the end of the day, like I look back on that and it's something I thought I'd never see, but you know, I want to start competing obviously at another level. And this is the first step to do it.
Dude, you said winning the Super Bowl when you guys, oh my gosh, thinking about, so obviously I'm a Bears fan. Okay. So we had Cody Parkey when he did the double dunk against you guys. And that was probably the worst feeling in the world. I feel with the Bears and the Eagles, there's always a lot of trades and a lot of talk between them. There's always a lot of history, not talked about a lot, but even with, we just got Peters, Jason Peters.
Yeah.
Can you please give us some inside information? Because everybody from outside of Chicago is like, oh, yeah, we got a 39-year-old Pro Bowler. That's pretty good. But a lot of people have been messaging me saying, hey, man, he's only good for about 6 starts, and he'll give you about 6 false starts as well.
Yeah, that's always kind of the norm with him. I mean, you're always willing to look past it because he was a great left tackle. And look, in his heyday, he was one of the, you know, probably the best left tackle in the league. They called him the bodyguard when he was here. And, you know, he's old, you know, but he's still, I think, an effective guy. I don't know if I would have him starting. He's more of depth to me at this point. But I still remember it was 2 years ago, they brought him back and he demanded that they give him more money, and they ended up giving him more money. And then he got hurt. It was brutal. But I think that's the big concern if I'm a Bear fan is the offensive line. There's not a lot to like there. In my opinion, I don't know much about their offensive line, and that's a bit of a concern. It seems like just a couple of years ago they had, you know, Olin Krutz and some of those great offensive linemen over the years. But I don't know quite what they have. If it's Bears luck, their offense will be good, but they can't block for them. So Well, let's hope. But yeah, Peters is close to the end. I thought he would have retired by now.
Me too. Well, he was fishing when we called him. So there's that. That's
there you go.
We could go out there and play. If we train a couple of weeks, dude, for the offensive line for the Bears, dude, we can be out there.
I don't think I could do that, but
well, I don't think I can, but at this point, watching the training camp, I think I can maybe get in there. Also about the Bears, we have your guy Nicky Foles. Any interest in taking him back?
No, Eagles aren't going to bring him back. They got their quarterbacks that they have. They went out and got Gardner Minshew recently. So I think you're good at quarterback. Justin Fields is the best player they've had in a long time. And, you know, just see how it goes. I hope
they're going to start the guy, though. Like, I don't know when they're going to start my guy.
I mean, they should start on week one.
Fucking Matt Nagy's, I don't know. He's shit for brains. I don't know how he still has the job. This is going to be his fourth quarterback. This is Pace's fifth quarterback.
I would have fired him personally, but. You know, seems like they're willing. They're always willing to give people way too long a chance there.
Oh, look at they're letting Nick Foles pick the team he wants to go to. Like he's done something for us. I know he did it in Philly, but this isn't Philly. This is Chicago. So
exactly. Right.
Yeah. Kind of pisses me off, but hey, whatever. Do want to talk about your show. I took a little listen today and I listened a couple of days ago to The Sit Down, which is a great podcast. I'm a big mafioso guy. I love Casino. I love Goodfellas. I love all of them. You talk about real gangsters, which is fucking badass. You talk about Jimmy Burke, the real guy from the Goodfellas, Carmine Perisco, Al Capone. Man, the list goes on and on, dude. It's
We've done. We're you know tomorrow or Wednesday will be our 22nd episode, and we've done a lot. I mean, we've done the big heavy hitters, you know, John Gotti and. Uh-huh. You know, Al Capone and guys like that. But, you know, there are so many mobsters that people don't know that truly ran this country for decades, you know, whether it's, you know, Tony Accardo or you know, Carlo Gambino, or, you know, you mentioned Carmine Persico, who's probably one of the most manipulative snakes in the history of the mafia. They called him the snake because he was so devious. But yeah, we really try to tell a compelling story about mafia people and members. And, you know, it's really not just mafia, it's organized crime. It's drug dealers, drug traffickers, drug gangs. We're going to do down the road. I'm going to get into some of real Italian mafia members, you know, over in Italy. You know, if you think that the mafia in this country is dangerous, which it, at the time it was, you know, the modern day Italian mafia is incredibly violent. I mean, they literally control, government and politics.
Right.
It's crazy. But yeah, we love it. We're having a good time with it. And people like the topic. So I've been enjoying it.
What's your favorite movie for like mafia movies?
My favorite mafia film personally is it's called Gotti. It was made in 1996.
I thought you were about to talk about the recent one. I was like, Volta, please.
No, the one from HBO. Armand Asante played Gotti. I think it was really well acted. I thought it was well casted. It's super well done. I like Donnie Brasco as well. I mean, that's
Donnie Brasco.
It's actually really legitimately true, most of it. I mean, some of it's not completely true, but I like A Bronx Tale. I mean, that's one of my favorites.
Yep.
I actually like The Irishman. I know a lot of people didn't like the film, and look, it's not exactly truthful, but to me, I thought it was just beautiful to see those three, you know, on the stage, you know, probably the last time. So
it'll be definitely be the. I don't know actually. I don't know if it's going to be the last time. I said that the last time. And
well, I do know just through people that I know. I know Pesci's working on like some mafia stuff. He's not acting in it, but he's involved in it. So. You know, those guys are just timeless, and it was just nice to see them. And look, I'll tell you this, Mike, like the last 30 minutes of The Irishman is as good a show or good a movie as you'll find.
Well, this is my thing is there's the problem with the world today is nobody wants to sit there for 3 hours and watch it.
I've said that the film was wasted on this generation, in my
opinion. Yeah. I don't mind sitting there for 3 hours because I can sit there. I can watch Rocky. I can sit there and watch Casino because they're 3 hours. But people have these fucking short attention spans that they'll never enjoy this good fucking film.
It's weird, though, because like if I said to someone, hey, like you can binge watch a show for 6 hours, like people will do that though. Like it's
yeah. Oh, absolutely.
I don't know. I don't understand, but I'm actually watching a show right now that, I mean, when I tell you it's incredible, it's got the potential to be like the greatest show I've ever seen.
Wait, hold on. I got to write this down. What's it called?
Yeah, I'm watching it right now. It's like the first season was just like incredible. Like I'm blown away by it. It's called Gomorrah.
Gomorrah.
Yeah. It's an Italian TV show, but it's special. Really special. It's incredible.
Well, what's it about? You can't hang in. I gotta.
Oh, you want me to tell you? It's about the mafia in Italy. It's in Naples, the set in Naples, and it's about this family that really controls the drug trade in Naples, and it's devious. The first scene of the show is, and this is how crazy the Italian mafia is. So they're in a beef with a rival boss, and they're trying to kill him, and they find him that he's at his mother's house, and his mother and him are sitting down for dinner, and they literally light the house on fire. Like just light it on fire, and it jumps in right away.
Yeah, that's fucking crazy, dude. Holy shit. Sitting there with your mom eating dinner and you're just getting your house lit on fire because you're in the mob.
It's crazy. You gotta watch it. Very good.
Oh, I'm gonna watch it, definitely. I'm in the middle of trying to get my fiance to watch Sopranos. Like, dude, this is the third time I'm watching it. This is the first time with her, and it's just like pulling teeth to get her to watch it. Oh, it's so violent. Oh, it's so this and that.
Well, then don't watch Gomorrah because
I'll watch it.
Make Sopranos look like a Boy Scout troop.
Yeah. Do you a fan of Sopranos?
Yeah, I think it's a great show. But like again, like watching this show, if this show continues the way it is, it's 10 times better.
You'll blow it out of the water.
Yeah, I love it. It's incredible.
All right, I'm going to watch. I'm actually going to watch it tonight, and I'm going to give you a review because that's fucking awesome.
Yeah, you got to start it out. Watch a couple of episodes.
It's in Italian. It's Italian only? Or
It's in Italian. I would highly recommend watching it in Italian. Just obviously have the subtitles.
Well, no, it's fine. I could go. I got my grandpa who spoke Italian. I got a little broken English.
Well, yeah, it's funny. When I was younger, my first job I ever had was my best friend had a pizzeria, his family, and he's from Sicily, and they would talk Italian. And I find myself, I'm actually learning Italian right now. I don't tell a lot of people that, but yeah, I'm actually learning it through Babbel, it's called. And because I don't know if you know, do you know about what my end game is?
Your end game?
Yeah, with all this, like my life, you know what it is?
What is it?
So I'm 32. By 40, I want to sell everything I have. I'm not going to get married. I'm holding out till then.
Okay.
I'm going to Italy. I have the town already picked out. And I'm gonna buy a villa over there, and I'm just gonna chill. I'm gonna drink my coffee and bet my games and a 30-year-old brunette and just maybe have a kid or two and chill.
You've instantly just became my best friend, bro. That sounds like the dream. You know what I'm saying? Like that is every man's dream. I didn't even think about going to Italy.
Dreams are something that you don't expect to happen. This will happen.
This will happen.
All this absolutely. Shit that I've done, all this, all this gambling, like Twitter, I'll delete it. It'll all be done. I'll be over with it. Done with it.
Fuck yeah, dude. Go to Italy. What part of Italy would you like to go to? If you could pick. Because my family, we're from Bari, and it's not the best place in the world, but it's all right,
Bari is beautiful. Obviously, that's in southern Italy. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't be too far from like a big city center, but I'm looking at an area right near Naples. It's called Bacioli. That area, it's not far from Naples. I can get there quickly. I want to be in a beach town. Obviously, that's the goal. Bari is actually beautiful. Maybe Sorrento, that kind of area. But I want to definitely be this southern, Rome south. I don't want to be up north. It's too mountainous. But yeah
I was going to say lots of mountains over there.
Yeah, but there's a town I have my eye on. Really close to Naples that I'm looking for. So we'll get there.
Yeah, one day you'll get there. Maybe you can meet the guys from, oh my gosh, just what was it called again?
Gomorrah.
Gomorrah. Gomorrah. Well,
you know,
Gomorrah.
I hope I don't have to meet those guys because, you know.
Yeah, that's bad news, my friend.
That I'm in some shit, so.
So we had the guy from, what's it called? We had, what's his name? Joey Ganascoli. You know Joey Ganascoli?
Yeah.
Vito. So I had Frank the Tank on from Barstool. So we had Frank on because he always comes on once in a while. He's a good friend of ours. And I texted him. I was like, hey, Frank, you want to hop on the show with me and Joey Ganascoli? He goes, sure, yeah, it'll be fun. Dude, this guy was drier than a fucking raisin. It was the worst train wreck interview that we've ever had in our life. Me and Frank
actually, I actually have a story about him if you want to hear it real quick.
I'll hear it. Is it a good story or a bad story?
It's kind of funny, actually. So, okay, I'll hear So in the summer, like most of my life, my family's had a shore house on the Jersey Shore. And I think it was like my 23rd birthday, 22nd birthday around then. We had like a little thing down there. We had some friends of ours that were from Philly that came over and we were just all there. And one of our friends from Philly, he's kind of a nefarious cat. He makes money like all these different ways. And so he comes over to our house and he's like, hey, he always calls me Jeffrey. He doesn't call me Jeff, calls me Jeffrey. He goes, Jeffrey. He said, listen, we got to go somewhere. I got to take you somewhere. I want you to meet somebody for your birthday. So we get in this car, we drive to this like in New Jersey, this in our town, Ocean City. We go to this like Ducky ice cream spot. And above the ice cream spot was this cigar lounge. And we got to the cigar lounge and we walk in and there's like six guys up there, just six dudes. And they're playing cards, dice and stuff. And one of them is Joe Ganascoli. And I walk in and this guy, Anthony, who I know, he goes, Jeffrey, this is Joe. And I'm like, he goes, I know how much you love The Sopranos. I'm thinking, holy shit, this is Vito.
Yeah.
And I don't know why. I guess he was in town for like a book signing and he like knew the owner of the cigar shop, but like he comes over and I was like, hey, Joe, I'm like, I'm a big fan. Like, I really enjoyed you in the show. And he's like, thanks. That's cool. Appreciate that. And he had books with him that he was like selling. And I'm thinking like, you know, he's not going to charge me for a book. So I'm like, yo, can I get you to sign a book? And he's like, yeah. He's like, that's $24.99. I'm like,
what a beat off, dude.
Yeah. I'm like, I kind of like made a face. And Anthony was like, you know what? I got you. He bought the book. And Joe signed the book and he hands me the book. And I open it to like look at the signature. And there's like pizza grease all over the book.
Oh, what a nasty motherfucker, bro.
Yeah, he was like eating pizza. And yeah, he was kind of a weird dude. Like he was definitely kind of cold, I thought. So
every question we asked the guy, dude, every single question we've asked him, he was hey, Joe, it was nice. It's nice to have you on. Thanks for coming on. Okay. I was like, what do you mean? Okay, bro. Like fucking engage into the conversation, have some. And even Frank was like, hey, you know, this is the town that you guys record at the town that I live on. He's like, yeah, yeah, that's nice. I was like, bro, don't.
That wouldn't surprise me. I mean, he seemed like a little kind of, you know, weird for sure.
I asked him, I was like, so how was it playing a gay character? You know, you have to go back to other people and do they give you shit? He goes, do your research, Mikey? Like I'm the one who created it. If it wasn't for me, like acting like he's the reason that fucking Sopranos took off is because
that person that he is playing, like that character is based on a real person, like 100%.
What?
I've done like some videos on that guy actually. So real quick. So in New Jersey, there's the Mafia family is the DeCavalcanti crime family. They're very close with New York, just kind of like the Sopranos. And in the 1980s, early 90s, they had a boss, and he was a boss for a while, John Riggi. He went to prison, and they had some issues with people becoming the boss. They had an acting boss. And eventually, a guy that worked for John Riggi called John D'Amato became the acting boss of the family. And he was, you know, he was a big earner, making money in construction, just like Vito did. And he was he had a girlfriend at the time and they got in some beefs and she got so mad at D'Amato, she ran to, the underboss of the family at the time and told them that, and this was a true story, that she had went with him to like buy and gay sex clubs And that quote, like, he participated with other men in like sex acts.
What the fuck?
And she ran and told like the triumvirate of the mob, and they set it up, and you know, he was killed. He was actually really close with John Gotti, John D'Amato, and he ended up being killed. And yeah, they based the character off of him.
That's fucking, this cocksucker was acting like it was all him. He's no. Like, yeah, I went up to David Chase and I told him that I should be the gay guy, my bro.
Yeah, definitely.
Wow.
Yeah,
wow,
and wow. A lot of like the characters in the show were based on real people. Like they're kind of a mix of real people, but yeah, he definitely didn't create that. That's bullshit.
What a beat off. Ugh, that's like me and Frank's number one worst enemy right now. So every time I see Frank, we always talk about it.
He's definitely rigid for sure.
Mm-hmm. Are you gonna watch the new one or the new movie?
The movie? Yeah, I'll definitely watch
it. Prince of Newark.
Yeah.
I can't fucking wait. What do you think about his son playing it?
Yeah, it'll be interesting. I mean, it's not a movie I need or want, but mm-hmm. You know, I'm definitely gonna watch it. You know, anything Sopranos.
Right. Now I gotta ask every time I ask this question, did Tony die?
No. No, I don't understand what valid argument you can make that he would die. If you know the show the way I feel like I do, the show is very realistic. And I think to think that he was killed that way is just, it's just not going to happen. Maybe in Italy that would happen, but that's not going to happen here. You're not going to kill a boss in front of his family at a restaurant that's well lit with tons of people in it. This is not going to happen. And you really look at how it all kind of figured out. Tony had no enemies by that point. A lot of people will say, well, you know, they killed Phil, so they came back. I mean, no, the Leotardo group had said, you know, do what you have to do with Phil. You know, a lot of people say that like certain people may have had an issue with him, but Tony had no enemies by that point. He was a beaten man. He was probably going to go to jail anyway. Killing him would just kind of be unnecessary. And who would kill him? Like, did Patsy Parisi kill him? Like, it's just not, it wouldn't happen. So yeah, I think he survived, and you know, I don't think anyone would be brave enough to kill him like that.
I guess. I don't know. I just, they gave you hints the whole season. It's the one that you don't see. It's the one that you don't see, you know, and then it just went straight to black. And usually at the end of all the credits.
I think if you watch, when you watch the film or the show, like, AJ also makes a point that he makes a point at the table where he says, like, you got to remember all the good times.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it was kind of indicating that they were all okay. It all worked out in the end. And that, you know, Tony also made a point, I think it was in season one, that once his kids were grown up and they were okay, he didn't care about if he went to jail or not. And I think it was really just kind of a cherry on top that everyone was okay. Meadow was like going to get married probably. And AJ was finally past all of his nonsense, and Carmella was good. And, you know, he would probably be okay. That's probably what would happen. I just don't think he died. I think that's a cheap way of thinking.
Yeah, I guess. I hope not. I really hope not. You know, like, that's, it would be nice to have a happy ending. And as Joe Ganisco said, he goes, they're not Colombians. They're not going to do that to, he said, they're not Colombians. They're not going to kill him in front of his kids. So,
well, again, that has happened in the mob like once or twice, but yeah, you're right. And he's right. It doesn't happen. Look, if it were Italy, it doesn't matter. Like, and I think that's what people have to understand. Like, these groups that are doing this stuff, like, they don't care who's around. It's when you see that person, you kill them. It's that simple. Like, you know, it's, but yeah, it's not going to happen that way over here. So yeah, I don't think he died.
Look at, oh my gosh, what's the one guy that came from Italy? Furio. Furio was a crazy motherfucker when they got him from Italy. What a trade that was. That's probably the best trade they ever got, except for Tony.
When he was, but he ended up, kind of fucking him then in the long run.
Yeah, he was raping his wife with his eyes, dude.
He liked
that was. Didn't he leave? He just left out of nowhere, right? I think that's what happened.
Yeah, he just left. Yeah.
Jeez. Ugh. Yeah, dude, I can't wait for the new one. I'm so fucking excited. It'll be a good time. I can't wait to check out more episodes of yours. When's the next episode coming out?
It'll be out Wednesday, the 1st.
Tomorrow.
Yes.
Oh, yes. Oops. Actually, let's Let's re-go because I'm releasing this Thursday. When's your next podcast? Yeah, hold on, we're ready. Yeah, when's your next podcast coming out?
Came out yesterday, the first. You should go check it out.
All right, yeah, I'll check it out. Hell yeah, dude. Well, Jeff, it was nice having you on. I appreciate you coming on, talking a little bit of gambling, a little bit of bullshit, and I love the Mafioso talk. I love the Sopranos talk, and I'm definitely going to check out that new one that you just said to me, and I already forgot it again. But I'll remember it by the time I watch it. I'm going to be like, bro, I cannot believe this guy told me this. So it's going to be a good episode. What? One more time.
Gamora.
I'm writing it fucking down, dude, because I'm not going to go back here tonight and keep looking it up. Gamora. I'm going to be checking that out ASAP. Hell yeah. It'll be a good time. Jeff, I appreciate you having me on. Let me redo that one. Holy shit. Jeff, I appreciate you coming on, and I hope we can do this again soon. It'll be a good time.
Thank you, Mike. Appreciate it.
All right. Thanks, brother. All right, everybody. That was Jeff Nadeau. It was a good time. Thank you for coming on, Jeff. He knew a lot about Sopranos, a lot about gambling, and it was a good time. Now, what I want to talk about really quick is... No. We're going to wait. I have a guest coming on right now. His name is Joseph Herr. He is a Bears reporter. He also has a podcast called Fanside Bears, and you guys can go check that out, or we'll be talking about it right now. He also is a content creator for Bear Goggles On. I mean, dude, we basically broke every single thing down that's wrong with the Bears. And if you don't like Nagy, this is the interview to listen to, because this guy slanders Nagy more than me, which is surprising. So without further ado, after having to do, I would like to introduce Joseph Herr. All right, everybody, for my next guest, I want to introduce a very big Bears fan and a very cool guy you guys could follow on Twitter as well. His name is Joseph Herr. I hope I got that right. You could get that at Joseph Herr NFL on Twitter. He's a content creator for Bears Goggles On, and then you could find all his podcasts at firesidebears.com. And that at handle is also at Fireside Bears. Joseph, what's up, brother? How you doing?
I'm good, man. How are you?
I cannot complain. I'm looking forward to the season coming up. I'm looking forward. We got about 5 days left until the season. So I'm excited, man. I can't wait. I just, I'm a little nervous. I kind of want to get your thoughts on that before I start spitting how I feel.
Yeah, I've been itching for football. That's for sure. I mean, I'm not the biggest college football fan, so... I just like to watch kind of like Illinois State where I went. Outside of that, I just kind of pay attention to like NFL draft prospects. So finally see a team that I'm really passionate about playing again. It's going to be awesome. I mean, I am like you. I'm very excited for the season, regardless of who the starting quarterback is. There's a lot we can talk about on that. So I'll hold off for a little bit on that.
Dude, I get scared because I see that we're going in the season starting with Andy Dalton, and everybody's like claim is, oh, well, would you want to put him up against Aaron Donald? It's like, okay, well, he's going to get hurt anyways. These are my thoughts, right? It's just like, I feel like we'd have a better chance to win with Justin, and he's fucking faster. He's got more mobility. He seems like he's more confident. And I just feel like the guy for Andy Dalton, as soon as he feels pressure, he sacks like a ton of bricks. What do you think? Do you think that we should put, obviously, I think everybody thinks we should put Fields in, but what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I definitely want to see Fields as soon as possible. And like you were saying, he's going to face a good defender every week. Like it's not like we have like a joke of a schedule where we're going to face like the Lions and a few other like really bad teams. Like obviously, yeah, we'll play the Lions, but like we're also going to face very good teams like the Browns, the Packers have a great defense, the Buccaneers, the 49ers, Steelers, Ravens, like that's also almost all in a row. Like it goes from Packers, Buccaneers, 49ers, Steelers, Ravens. And say Dalton plays bad for the first 2 weeks, then Justin Fields, if anything, is going to be not as warmed up for that kind of brutal stretch. So if anything, I kind of want to get him in there as soon as possible. Obviously, I'm also totally okay with just waiting and seeing how this year plays out. If we're not good this year, I'm totally okay with just kind of giving up this year and just letting Fields play, not really caring, seeing with how tough our schedule is and how tough our division is and how good the Vikings are starting to get, and the Packers still are the Packers with this play being their last chance. So I guess it's kind of, I'm in the favor of playing it by ear. Obviously, I want to see Fields sooner the better. It's just hard to kind of predict what this team can be with Dalton. They could be either really bad or just average, and we have no idea what this team could be with Fields.
I just don't understand, like, what is the ceiling? We all know the ceiling for Dalton. We don't know the ceiling for Fields, and why don't we just let him out there? If we let the season tank and we let it go, then that leaves Nagy and Pace in the hot seat, which I don't know how they're not in the hot seat already. But what do we do? I just feel like if this year is a break season and we have to, like, we just suck, I feel like we just have to blow the whole team up, keep Justin Fields, but now we have to work around him. So I could see how that's a good scenario, but I don't think that's ideal. I want to see the fucking guy start, and I want to see progress right away. That's what I hope for, but completely. We'll see how that goes.
Completely, me too. And it's just like, and the thing is with blowing it all up is we then need to get new pieces for Fields to get accustomed to, which would be even worse. It'd be just kind of like the same old song and dance as we had with Trubisky, where we blew up everything there too. We got him a brand new receiving core, brand new staff. It's just like, he needs some consistency. It's good to have a rookie quarterback with consistency in his staff, as much as I don't like Matt Nagy, and consistency on offense. Like, we got to prioritize bringing back Allen Robinson, so he continues that rapport with him.
But there's also that thing too, is like, how many times are we going to waste these players' careers? Like Khalil Mack, we traded for him, and for what? Like, there was two playoff appearances, but they were half-assed playoff appearances that we couldn't get anything done. I want to see some progress. What are we going to do? What are the next steps moving forward? We don't know. Nobody knows, because the guys in charge don't even know. They say they have a plan, but their plan is always ass. Like, it's never good. They had a plan when they brought in Glennon. How did that go? They had a plan when they brought in Nick Foles. How did that go? Now it's, we have Andy Dalton. He's the starter. Nobody, 99% of the population in Chicago does not want to see Andy Dalton as our starter. But you have these two stubborn motherfuckers that have a plan. Mind you, the plans that never work, they have a plan, and they act like they're smarter than every other person. And they're like, oh, well, trust us, trust us. Who are they to have us trust them? I don't see any, like, reason for us to trust Pace or Nagy.
Yeah, and the worst part is, like, we want to know as much as possible, but they're obviously not going to go in front of the media and tell us the exact plan. So that's kind of the worst part, is like, they're like, all right, trust us, we got a plan. And like you were saying, what have they shown for us to trust them? Like, Pace has kind of gained, I feel like, a little bit of trust back with this past draft class and kind of the moves he's been making as of lately. Obviously, he had a few bad moves lately as well, like giving Jimmy Graham too much money. But if his weakness is he gives people too much money, it's just like, that's something I could deal with. Like, he made bad trade for Foles, but I feel like that was more of Matt Nagy. There's just a lot that can play into the moves he's made. I feel like Matt Nagy has proven nothing for us to trust him at all. Like, I don't think there's anything he has shown that he does well outside of comes up with a few creative gimmicky plays, but then he used them too much, so that kind of ruins the point.
The guy used one in game one of a preseason with Justin Fields, where they had, Jesse James wide open, I believe it was.
Yeah.
You don't use the fucking trick plays in preseason, kid. Like, what are you doing? It like, the guy, he doesn't want to show us anything, but then he'll show us stuff like that. And it's just like, bro, you might as well have John Fox back in there if you want to play conservative. I thought we hired an offensive coordinator with great plays and this and that to be our head coach, and I feel like we just got the short end of the stick once again.
Yeah, I've already had multiple times on podcast articles where I've just absolutely shredded Nagy, so I won't go completely into that on this as well, because that's mainly been my MO. But it's just, that's been my main issue with the Bears, is his kind of issue with play calling. Stubbornness, especially with when it came to last year when Bill Lazor was doing a great job of calling plays, and he just was too stubborn. He was like, yeah, you know what? We're doing too good. I don't like this. I want to call plays again. And the two games that he calls plays at the end of the year happened to be the two most important games, and our offense again looked like normal. It's just, we've had nothing to look forward to in terms of offense. It's like the same three and out, run pass, short curls for a gain of 3 yards, and then we run it for no gain on a dive play, and then we try and run a slant short of the sticks, and then, oh, there we go. Now it's fourth down, we're punting. and then, or then we get a false start because we're undisciplined as well through Nagy, and then we're it's third and long and we do a screenplay. Like, it's just, it's never taking shots. It's always being super conservative, like you were saying. It's just very, very frustrating.
I feel like it's gotten so predictable that we all know what his first down is going to be a run. Second down will be a pass. The third down will be a pass. I'm like, it's just not, it's not working anymore, man. We, even if the fans are figuring out your plans, then obviously the other, the defensive coordinators are figuring out your plans, right? My thing is on the defensive side, let's take it over there. There's a lot of the holes that we got to fill on that side. Usually the Bears defense is always the strong suit of our team, but our cornerback, oh my gosh, our cornerback position is just terrifying, knowing that we're going up against the schedule that we're going up against. And then our D-line, I love our D-line, but now I'm hearing talks with Akeem Hicks not being happy and he wants to trade and this and that. I could see Akeem Hicks going somewhere else unless he gets an extension. I would love for him to retire as a Bear. I loved him as a Bear. He's one of my favorite Bears. I think he's the most important Bears player, not the most valuable, but the most important. I just, if we can get some fucking assets for him, I wouldn't mind it. Guy's getting older. I don't think his contracts are going to be worth it in the next 2 years. What are your thoughts on Akeem Hicks?
Like you were saying with the D-line depth, I'm a huge fan of the depth in general. So if we were to get rid of Akeem Hicks, obviously that's a huge hit in terms of team morale, just overall personality in the locker room. Like, he's just, every time I went to training camp and before the season started, and just his energy, even just in a training camp practice, is just unbelievable. Like, he brings it to every single rep of practice, whether it's just a drill against bags or it's a, or it's in the actual like practice at 11 on 11. Like, he is always going 100%. And to lose someone like that, that's a huge deal. Like, whether regardless of him aging, regardless of injury history, like, I from a business standpoint, it's a smart move to move on from him and get picks from him. But from a, in terms of caring about the actual team itself and caring about people as they are and not just business assets, it would be a very smart move to keep him around. As nice it would be to get some, to get some picks for him or something, I would just extend him for a cheap extension, kind of set off the money for a few years as we have a ton of space in the next few years. I would just push it back a little bit, just basically just do what the Saints have been doing.
Yeah, that's not a bad idea at all. Holy shit. Let's talk about that. You say that the Bears, they're very good with, they try to help their players out. They try to help the team out. It's always team first more than business, I feel, when it comes to the Bears, which is why a lot of the players for the Bears, like the former players, they love Chicago. They love the McCaskies. Why the fuck are they giving all of this leeway and all of this nice to Nick Foles? What has he done for us that he gets to pick the team he wants to go to? I didn't see that he has no trade clause. I'm sorry. Am I missing something here?
No, he had a no trade clause with the not Jaguars. Maybe it was with us. I don't remember. I think when it was restructured, that got put into it. So he had some sort of security in terms of he didn't want to get retraded. I feel like Foles must have known that he was going to do bad here, that he wanted to throw that in here and knew that he could possibly get traded again. So
yeah, that's like the
I have no idea.
That's the first red flag. I'm like, hey, we shouldn't sign this guy. He wants to put in his contract a no trade clause because, you know, he might suck. And that's just, it blows my mind just the way that they make moves. So I feel like they jumped the gun way too fast. If you look at it, they, oh my gosh, Mike Lennon's available. We got to get him. Oh man, Mr. Trubisky, he's still available at number two. Let's trade up to go get him. Oh my gosh, fucking Jimmy Graham's on the market. We got to get him. And then now it's, Andy Dalton, we need him. Nick Foles is available. Oh my gosh. They jumped the gun so fast. And it's like, dude, just wait. Wait a second. Feel it out. There's more on the market. And just feel like the pace, the only argument I have with that guy besides his first and second round draft picks, how they sometimes don't pan out, is just he's way too quick to jump the gun. He's got no patience. And it's just, it's scary. I think that Pace is a decent general manager. I don't think he's a bad general manager. But on the other end of the stick, it's like I'm so fed up with Chicago Bears fans being like, oh, well, he's decent. He's not bad. It's like, dude, I'm so tired of decency. I'm so tired of mediocrity. And it's sad that Bears fans have just accepted mediocrity as good because we've had so many bad years with Emery, Trestman, John Fox, even some of the older or recent years that before Nagy and Pace, but like, it's just, I'm sick of the mediocrity and I want excellence. I just want excellence, man.
Yeah. 100%. Yeah. And I think the issue with Pace, like you were saying, is he likes to overpay for players that don't deserve the money. And that kind of comes into him just, it must be like he must be afraid of something, of people not wanting to come here for some reason. That's the only thing I really think of, because it's a consistent thing, whether it's, I mean, people like to say Robert Quinn was overpaid. He got the exact same contract from the Dallas Cowboys, and he made the decision to come here based on a coin flip. Like, that's literally how he decided. So he was not overpaid. He was well-deserving of that contract he got from us and from the Cowboys if we would have gotten that. He just happened to have a down year with injuries. He happens to be out of scheme, which that's kind of the issue with us signing him. I don't know why at the time Chuck Pagano said, let's go after him, Ryan Pace, and Ryan Pace said, okay. I don't understand why they both agreed to it. Right. But yeah, like I don't understand the overpaying of every single person who hits free agency. I do like that Pace does a very good job though of getting value out of people that were like former first round picks that failed, and getting them on cheap deals to come back, like Jermaine Ifedi. He did it again with Artie Burns, where he brought him in even though he flopped in Pittsburgh. And he's just good at finding some value out of people that aren't like super valuable, and he just gets them on cheap deals, like Sam Mustipher as well. Alex Bars, he's turned into a very, I mean, he didn't turn him into, but he brought him in and he became a staple of the backups and can play literally anywhere on the offensive line. It's just, yeah, his weakness happens to be that he overpays. And if that's his greatest weakness, and obviously his missing at first round picks, that's something I can live with for now for a guy who's very young and new to being a general manager. I just think he needs to bring in some more help and hold himself more accountable.
Yeah, absolutely. Speaking of signings and things that he saw, people that he signed, Tariq Cohen. He signed Tariq Cohen to a 3-year extension, and then 3 days later, he tore his ACL. What do you see with Tariq Cohen? Do you think that he'll be back by week 4, week 6? Do you see him coming back at all this season? Has he missed a step? Sometimes I feel like that the mental toughness that, you know, he lost his brother this year, and it was his twin brother, that's got to be like, I mean, I can't even imagine, right? So that's got to play a factor just on, like, playing with your head. How do you think he's going to play this year and just be as a player if he comes back?
I honestly have no idea when he'll come back to. With the terms of the surgery and everything, it sounds like there was more to it than what we were initially told, where we initially told it was just ACL. My guess is that when the doctors went to do surgery, it had to do a little bit more. I kind of speculated that on one of our podcasts as well. Like, maybe it was also a meniscal tear that kind of delayed it a little bit, and that's why he's still not ready. I honestly don't know when we'll see him again, though. And I think if we do, I think whenever we see him again, it seems like they're taking their sweet time. So if he's not 100%, I'd be shocked by the time we see him again.
Yeah, I mean, I really fucking hope. But now it's just like Herbert is going right up on that depth chart. I like Herbert. I like Herbert a lot. I think that he can really solidify his position there. But that would leave the odd man out as Tariq Cohen. Do you think he has a chance to outplay him?
Oh, 100%. I think Herbert's a stud. I mean, again, I love Cohen. He's a great dude. He's another guy that's a great person to have in the locker room. I think, honestly, what's going to end up happening this year is Cohen's either not going to come back and get IR'd for the rest of the season, or he's going to come back and just, they're going to have to cut a wide receiver to kind of keep him on the team. And then after this year, Damian Williams will just be gone. And then the room will just consist of Montgomery, Herbert, and then Cohen, where Herbert just kind of fills in for the Williams role. And after that, that'll just be a very solid young running back room. So I think Williams is honestly kind of the odd man out this year. And he's just kind of the buffer for the period of Cohen being injured and Herbert needing more experience.
And you know what? If he's the buffer, I'll take it as the buffer, because look what he did in the Super Bowl 2 years ago. And even last year, he had a decent postseason. I'm not going to complain about it. But yeah, he'll be a good addition as well. Overall record for the Bears, what do you think that's going to be?
If Dalton plays the whole year, I don't think we win more than 6 games.
There's no way he's playing, no way.
I know, but you never know. As you can,
yeah, we're
throwing
right.
Nagy. We're throwing on Nagy. So I guess it honestly depends when we see Fields, and it depends on a lot. But if I had to guess, I would just say probably 9-8. Maybe
9-8.
If we're lucky, and then realistic, probably 7-10. I keep remembering 17 games, and it throws me off.
I feel like our ceiling is going to be 10. That's the cap for it. We could maybe sneak into the playoffs, but I just, a part of me really hopes that they play poorly and they don't win, because I want to see Nagy fire.
Oh, me too.
And then, you know what I'm saying? But like, would they fire him? Would they, bro? Like, I don't. These guys are so dumb. You guys are on your fucking fourth quarterback. Pace is on his fifth quarterback. Where has that ever happened? I've never seen that happen where you're on your fifth quarterback and you still have a job. And now you got Nagy on his fourth quarterback and he still has a job. That makes no sense to me. You had Trubisky, you had Foles, you have Dalton, and then you're going to have Fields. If you can't figure it out with Fields, you need to get the fuck out of Chicago.
Yeah, and that's the worst part is Nagy might be able to finesse his way to staying, saying, oh, we had a rookie. It's okay. We expected to be bad. Like, this is absolutely all part of the plan. And that's the thing that worries me the most is that he's going to finesse his way into staying here for at least another season after this, and then we're still bad. And then after that, we have to be like, oh, now we have to go start searching for a new coach after Fields has 2 years of being possibly ruined by Nagy.
Yeah, exactly. I gotta say, he's got to be the greatest con man in sports besides Adam Gase. Adam Gase was a big con man, but he's up there for sure. I don't see how this guy. And you know what? I don't know if you watch basketball, but he really reminds me of Boylan a lot, because Boylan used to give us that, like, oh, back when I was with Popovich, back when I was in San Antonio, that, you know, like, this is how we did. After he fucking called the timeout down 20 with 2 minutes left. You know, like, and Nagy throws the same thing at us. Oh, like, we had a plan in Kansas City, and you saw how that worked out. Kansas City. Shut the fuck up. This is Chicago. I'm tired of hearing about Kansas City. You know, you don't have to be so stubborn where that's the only plan. Things change. I don't care that you hired Andy Dalton and you told him that he's going to be the fucking starter. I don't care what you told him, but you got to make it work. Like, you got to care what's better for the team, not what's better for your ego. And I feel like that guy is such a, like, an egocentric, what do you call it? He's a narcissist, bro. He's just so fucking controlling, and he's just a control freak. That's what I feel about him. Yeah, for sure.
And it's so frustrating because we're not even close to the talent of that Kansas City Chiefs team. Like, you look at that team, and it had, like, Alex Smith was coming off, like, a Pro Bowl season. Like, I believe that year before, he led them to the playoffs, and he was leading them to the playoffs again that season as well. Like, they had a good running back room. They had a great offensive line. They had a very solid receiving core. I believe that was the year they got Tyreek Hill, and that was his, like, main, like, his first, like, really good season, if I remember correctly. And and they had Travis Kelce. Like, they have the best tight end in the NFL on their team as well. Like, they just had a great all around team. And I don't understand either how Matt Nagy could think he's even Andy Reid. That also just makes me laugh. But that's besides the point too.
He sucks off that fucking Andy Reid tree so much, dude. He's milking it, man. He can't do it anymore. He can't. Like, it's getting old really quick, and I think a lot of people are finally seeing that, like, dude, this guy's shot. Nationally, everybody knows, but internally, everyone's trying to give the guy a chance. I'm done with it. I've given up. The first year, I was like, oh, my gosh, this guy's cool. Santa's sleigh, club dub, very cool and hip, but now it's all corny. Now it's like, dude, you're losing. You got to – if you throw a club dub and you guys are fucking 3-7, fire him. ASAP. I'm sorry. Like, that's just uncalled for to have a club dub when you're, you know, I get so fucking frustrated about it.
Yeah, trust me. I feel that.
Yeah. I guess that's how the season's going to be. It's going to be a roller coaster of emotions. And Looking forward to it. Are you a big fantasy guy?
Yeah. I just had two drafts last night.
How's your teams looking?
My home league is the most important one that I pay attention to, and that team's looking pretty good. The rest of them, I always feel like I look really good before the season starts, so I'm just biased.
Who'd you pick first, though?
So my home league, I had the first overall pick, so I took McCaffrey. Had to.
Okay.
I was debating Kamara, but once it started, I was like, all right, I'm gonna go with gut instinct. And as soon as it started, I just clicked McCaffrey. I was like, I'm not gonna overthink it. Just taking him.
Yeah, it's always tricky for me to have the first pick because I always know I'm gonna fuck it up.
Yeah,
I'm like satisfied with the fourth or the seventh or even the third. But yeah, it's gonna be fun for fantasy. Are you gonna be drafting? Did you draft any Bears players?
That's a good question. I don't think I really didn't try and target any. Just at their, like, a lot of people are overvalued on the Bears. Like, I thought Allen Robinson, Montgomery were both kind of overvalued, and the kind of round that Montgomery gets targeted in is kind of the round I was targeting wide receivers, especially since I was taking McCaffrey first. So I never really had a chance to get him. I own a few Bears players, like, in dynasty leagues, but not really in any redrafts.
The only one I took was Allen Robinson. I'm too scared to grab Montgomery because of that O-line. It's just so atrocious. I don't want to do it.
For sure. And Damian Williams being there kind of scares me a little bit, but
yeah. No, sure. Definitely. My connection was cutting in and out. Yeah, dude, I don't know. Just fucking, it's a good season. It's going to be good, especially for fantasy, too. That's the thing about being a Bears fan is you got to look forward to something when they're, if they're going to, so fantasy football is always the go-to, you know, like, oh, the Bears are losing, but hey, my team's up. The worst is when you're losing, when the Bears are losing and your fantasy teams are losing. You know what I'm saying?
No, 100%. 100%. Yeah, I remember last year when I was at college, I would literally just sit in my living room and watch football all day on Sundays and just, it'd be the same thing. Like I'd have one laptop playing one game. Like, yep. The main TV would be the Bears game if the Bears game was on or whatever game was most interesting. I would just have just a bunch of different setups for the games. And I'd just be basically sitting on my phone the entire day just watching fantasy stuff and I, watching every single point go up. It was just, I absolutely just love fantasy football.
Yeah, hell yeah. Dude, I can't fucking wait. It's going to be an exciting season. Joseph, thank you for coming on. I appreciate all the time that you gave. Where can the listeners find you one more time? Give a quick shout out.
Yeah, so you can find me on Twitter at Joseph Herff NFL or at Joseph H-E-R-F-F NFL. You can also find my work at Bear Goggles On. That's Bear Goggles On. And then also at their website, BearGogglesOn.com. And then you can find my podcast that comes out every Tuesday night at Fireside Bears on Twitter as well.
Hell yeah, dude. Well, that was fun. I appreciate you coming on and can't wait to have you back on. Hopefully the listeners get to take a chance and listen to your podcast as well, brother.
For sure. Thank you very much for having me.
All right, dude. Hey, have a good one, all right?
And go Bears. Yep, go Bears.
See you, brother. Yep, that was Joseph Herff. He had a lot of good facts about the Bears. More or less, I'm more of a, hey, talk shit. What the fuck is going on with the Bears? Oh, my gosh. He's more of a analytically statistical guy and behind the scenes guy. So I like that we get to fusion us together. I think that's huge, huge. As you know, the Bears would say collaboration. But yeah, man, I look forward to the Bears season. I'm excited. It's just I tread lightly whenever I talk about the Bears, especially with this regime. I'm excited, though. It's going to be a good time. I hope everybody's prepared. I don't really care that Aaron Donald is facing the other opposite of the line. Obviously, he's a great player, but one player does not win you a fucking ball game. They're going to be triple teaming him. They're going to be double teaming him. What I'm worried about is Leonard Floyd. Leonard Floyd is always coming out for revenge against the Bears. And I feel like this game, he's going to prove it to like Ryan Pace and say like, dude, fuck you. I was a good player. We'll see how it goes though. Are you guys ready? I'm fucking ready. I got bets of the week coming. I know everybody's here for that. That's basically the point. Let me just pull that up really quick. I'm so excited. I mean, we got Bears, Rams. We got Bucks, Cowboys. Cowboys, I feel like they can cover the spread on that one. But before we get into it, let's talk about the bets of the week. The bets of the week is brought to you by Bet Rivers Casino and Sportsbook. Use that promo code MikeyBets when you download the app. And you'll get a $250 match bonus on your first deposit. That means if you put up to $250, you'll match it. You'll get $250 back. You put $50 in, you'll get $50 back. So it's all about match bonuses, and that's on Bet Rivers. You can download that app today. So for week one, dun, 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 Cowboys at Buccaneers. I'm going to go with the Buccaneers money line, but I do like the Cowboys +8. I feel like this game, they're going to be well within contention, and the Cowboys defense definitely stepped up compared to last year. You see who they drafted this year. And I mean, offensively, their offensive weapons are just out of the window. You have Michael Gallup as your wide receiver 3. That's pretty crazy. That is insane to me. We will go to our 12 o'clock game. So you got Eagles, Falcons. I'll take the Eagles +3. I'll take the Eagles money line even because I don't think the Falcons are going to be good at all. Matt Ryan, he's kind of stranded there with players that are decent, Riley Ridley and Kyle Pitts. But then you go and look at the defensive side and it's like, name me 5 players on that defense. You can't. Steelers, Bills. I'm doing Bills -6.5. nobody in this world can convince me that Ben Roethlisberger is back to full form and wherever he was. And you know what? Like, he has two Super Bowl rings, but I don't think that he was that great during that whole time. Of course, he's putting up yards and he's always throwing 5,000 yards a game, but that's a lot of scheme that has to do with it. He has a powerful arm, but like I said, we'll see how that one goes. I got Bills minus 6.5. Next on the line, I want to go to Cardinals Titans. I like this one. Titans are the favorites minus 3. These are dogs for Cardinals. I feel like the Cardinals have a lot to prove this year, especially with signing AJ Green. You got Hopkins, you got Watt, you got Jones. Dude, you have a team that is fit to win. And if they can come up somehow and get a dub this game, they definitely can. So I'll take Cardinals plus 3.5. Also, I'll throw a little peanuts on the money line for Cardinals. Chargers versus Washington. You got Washington football team plus 146. I'm going to go ahead and take them as dogs as well. Just because, dude, I think that they're going to have the best defense in the league. Along with, dude, you got Ryan Fitzpatrick. That's not bad with that offense. You got a great O-line. You got a great wide receiver core. And you got a great running back. Okay, the quarterback is halfway decent. But everybody knows what Ryan Fitzpatrick's role is to be a bridge quarterback. Let's see how he does, especially with Ron Rivera at the helm. Let's see how he does. So, yeah, I got the Washington football team money line on that. Jets-Panthers, this is going to be the revenge game for Mr. Sammy Darnold. So I'm going to go ahead and take the Panthers on that. A lot of people are sleeping on them. They're minus 5.5. Go ahead and take that because the Jets are a dumpster fire right now. Sure, Zach Wilson's the starter, but who knows what he's going to get tossed in. Look what Sam Darnold got tossed in that first year. Of course, it's not Adam Gase, but it's the Jets. So let's lo and behold and wait for these Jets. Dolphins-Patriots. Oh, the Patriots are at home, so it's okay. I'm going to go ahead and take the Patriots money line. Not going to take the spread minus 3 because I feel like they're only going to win by 3. Mac Jones is the starter. Let's see how he does. I'm not going to talk shit. I'm not even going to praise him. Let's see how he does. Tua, on the other hand, once again, let's see how he does. You know, there's a lot of insecurities, I feel like, with Tua because it just sucks. Imagine, like, every year you're doing halfway decent and there's always trade talks. This year, it's Deshaun Watson. Last year, he got benched because of Ryan Fitzpatrick. Just make up your mind and be consistent with the quarterback, and you won't have these problems. Next up, let's go Packers at Saints. Packers are minus 4. If I had to put bet on this game, if I had to, I would probably go ahead and take Packers. But my heart says I want to take the Saints. Just watch this game and don't take it away from me because I am a homer for the Bears. And I'm not going to make this bet. Broncos at Giants. You know, everybody was giving a lot of shit to the head coach for the Giants. But, you know, he's panning out. He is panning out. But I don't know what Daniel Jones is capable of. On the other hand, we all have seen Teddy Bridgewater's ceiling. We know what he's about. But that defense, Vic Fangio's defense, you can never underestimate. So if you think that Daniel Jones is going to be able to score 21 to 28 points against Vic Fangio's defense, then go ahead and give that dub to the Giants. But I don't think that's possible, especially with Vic Fangio. So I'm going to go ahead and keep the Broncos money line. And Broncos minus 3. Last game of the week, Bears-Rams. You know, this is difficult for me as a Bears fan, but I'm going to go ahead and take the Rams money line. The Rams are the better team. They have Matt Stafford this year. And, I mean, they are a Super Bowl contender with him. The Bears, on the other hand, we're starting Andy Dumb Dick Dalton. We're not starting Justin Fields, so there is zero chance. There might be a chance where they just upset the Rams. I don't see it right now. Maybe something changes within that week, but right now I'm going to go ahead and take that Rams money line. I'm not going to touch any of that spread because it's at 7.5. 7.5 gets tricky because it's always by a touchdown plus 1. The other day I had Ole Miss getting 43.5 points. They only ended up scoring 43 points, and it was just a touchdown that they missed. So it's brutal plays like that that really are going to kill you. But that's why you just got to be smart and conservative when you make plays and make bets. I'll give you guys one more. Fuck it. Ravens at Raiders. The Ravens are minus 4.5, but everybody is sleeping on those Raiders. I'm gonna say Ravens money line, but do not sleep on the Raiders this year. Do not sleep on them. As much as I like to laugh at them as a Bears fan because they gave us Khalil Mack for basically nothing, maybe Josh Jacobs. I think it was Abram. I'm sleeping on them. I am sleeping on them, but I think everybody else is. So just be careful about the Raiders this year. They're going to be sneaky good. And you know the NFL is all about entertainment. Raiders are in Vegas. It sounds kind of entertaining to me. You know, they're not going to be bad for that long. And I don't think the NFL will let them be bad for that long, if you know what I'm saying. As far as that goes, those are my bets of the week. Everybody, enjoy this Sunday. We finally get football back for NFL. I'm so fucking excited. I know you guys are, and we are about to see what the future holds for the Chicago Bears. All right, guys, stay safe, stay healthy, and I will talk to you next week. Bear down, motherfuckers.